Hearing. Welcome to the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. Today's Wednesday, August 27th, 2025. Okay. Call.
Chair Bovis?
Here.
Vice Chair Siebert? Member Lewis? Member Santos?
Here.
Member Spaulding is absent.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Announcements by the chair. I do not have any. And we don't have anything on the consent calendar. So we'll go to the tobacco retailer regulations administrative hearings. These are the administrative hearings for the Alameda County business and licensing regulations for the tobacco retailers ordinance. The Board of Zoning Adjustments is designated as the hearing body under this ordinance. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because a person aggrieved by the decision of the planning department in issuing a notice of violation or denying, suspending, or revoking a tobacco retailer license has requested a hearing on the decision. A valid notice of violation or notice of denial, suspension, or revocation shall be considered initial proof of the cause for the violation or denial, suspension, or revocation of the license. Any interested person may present testimony or evidence concerning the cause for violation or the denial, suspension, or revocation. Fines may be imposed or upheld in the amounts of $250 for the first violation, $500 for the second violation, and $1,000 for a third violation within any five-year period. Additional penalties and remedies may be pursued by the county as allowed by law. The board must make findings based on the record of the hearing, and a written order based on the findings will be issued. The board's order will reference your right to appeal the decision. You will have 10 days from the date of service of the order to appeal to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. A copy of the order will be served to all parties in the same manner that notice of this hearing was given. The first item.
Staff. Yes, we have the first item on the Tobacco Retailer Regulation Administrative Hearings for Five Star Smoke Shop located at 15640 East 14th Street in Ashland. And we have Code Enforcement Officer Alfonso Flores here to present the matter.
Afternoon, Alfonso Flores with Alameda County Code Enforcement. I'm here to present this item. Again, this is with regards to the Five Star Smoke Shop owner, Suleiman Ahmoud Ahmed. Store is located at 15640 East 14th Street in Ashland. The violations are violations of Alameda County Ordinance Sections 3.58040A and 3.59.030, sale of flavored tobacco products, and sale of electronic smoking devices. So pertinent facts are June 11th, 2025, Alameda County Sheriff conducted an undercover buy operation, and the retailer employee sold flavored vape tobacco vape pen, excuse me. Related police report there, or sheriff report, is 25-007167. On July 10th, 2025, we issued a notice of failed inspection, a one-year license suspension with fines and fees assessed, and mailed that to the retailer via regular and certified mail. On July 18th, 2025, a tobacco retailer filed an appeal to the West BZA, appealing the violation with fines and fees and the tobacco retail license suspension. On August 7th, 2025, a notice of administrative hearing mailed to the retailer via regular and certified mail. Previous violations, there are two, which is the reason why it's resulting in a one-year suspension. The first one that occurred was in November 12th of 2020. At that time, the retailer was cited for selling flavored tobacco products and electronic smoking devices. Violation was not appealed. The second violation on the property in a five-year period happened on June 17th, 2021. And the retailer was cited again for having flavored tobacco products, also not appealed by the business owner. Staff recommendation is to deny the appeal, find the business owner in violation of Alameda County Tobacco Retailers Ordinance Chapter 3.58 and the Alameda County Electronic Smoking Device Ordinance Chapter 3.59. Therefore, a public nuisance, uphold the one-year tobacco license suspension on tobacco license TRL 2021-01015 and order the business to pay outstanding fines and fees. I have some exhibits I was going to show you briefly. So attached to the packets is a copy of the police report. Just some context, I guess. So we have been with the sheriff coordinating inspections where they perform an undercover biop. So basically they go in plain clothes and see if they will sell. The issue we have been getting before, not necessarily at that location, but in general, is that retailers are either concealing it or hiding it, and we're not able to really find them during our inspections. So we've kind of expanded operations with the Sheriff's Department assistance to try to locate some of these retailers who are selling in this manner. This is the police report there. As you could see, the plainclothes deputy came in and requested flavored tobacco. They were offered flavored vape pens from a bag that was, again, not on display or anything, and a picture of the purchased items. The receipt does have a different address, and that is addressed in the police report. We refer that to business licensing just so that they're aware that in case there's any discrepancies. And then, as you can see, they have a flavored vape device and a looks like King Palm banana cream. We're still trying to figure out exactly where that falls, because it is not technically a tobacco product, even though it is flavored. It's made from banana leaves. So we're this violation is more so focused on the Flume vaping device there, and that concludes my exhibits. Thank you,
Madam Chair. This is Member Spaulding. I just want to note, my apologies for being tardy and missing roll call.
Yes, it's important to note that Member Spaulding arrived at 1:32 for the West.
We knew you were screaming your way out down here.
Well, trying to get in the parking lot, you mean.
From what's going on out there.
Right. It's a bit of a challenge.
Do we have any questions for staff?
Don't.
I have a question. Did you follow up on this plane ticket that by the store owner is that they were on vacate or that they were out of the country for a visit, a parental death, and this one ticket's June 2025, but the return is November 6, 2025.
I did notice some things such as that, but we typically don't go that far into it. We try
this
to.
This was attached to the appeal.
Yeah, I wasn't. You know, in the time that I spent on reviewing it, able to verify whether that flight took place or anything.
Yeah. And the other question is, the receipts are from Cloud 9 Gift and Beauty, San Francisco in San Francisco on Eddy Street.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, what's going on there? And is that another violation? Because that's not the store.
Yeah, the sheriff's noted it in their incident report, and after speaking with my supervisor, we referred it to the business tax licensing just to make sure. It could be that they're just have that printing out, but they're still reporting it correctly. But I just let them know about it, so just in case there could potentially be a violation there. Business licensing is looking into it, but they haven't notified me that there is a violation necessarily.
They take care of taxes.
You typically take care of business licensing and the tax aspect of it, yes.
The thing is just for the record to make clear that this
receipt was printed out in location San Leandro, not San Francisco.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, can you confirm the fines to date?
Sure. So with regards to the fines, it's $1,000 for the third violation, and then a one-year suspension.
1 year. Questions? Have anyone that wants?
Believe the appellant is here.
I'll open the public hearing and you can approach. Oh, they have to be sworn in.
Well, they need to approach, but the clerk.
Don't typically swear them in for tobacco, only for alcohol beverage control.
Okay, I knew it.
Wrong substance abuse.
Can you state your name and.
My name is Abdullah Al-Dubai. I'm Suleiman's cousin.
Can you please speak into the mic?
Into the mic.
My name is Abdullah Al-Dubai. I'm here for Suleiman Ahmed. And this is his brother, Marwan Ahmed, is the current manager.
So the...
Don't speak English, so I can help with the interpretation of that. Okay.
Okay. Did you have something you wanted to...
But speak for those
no problem.
Video impaired.
For the violation, at that date when Suleiman traveled, him and his family, for his dad passing away, they hired this guy for just for the half of the day, and he came and he sold that stuff without their knowledge, and they have already fired him, and they took the compliance measurement for it to be not sold again over there, and he's requesting reduce the suspension, and he agreed to pay the fines.
Can you tell me why the product was even on the premises?
It's from the employee. He came with
the employee. The employee bag.
Yeah, the employee
behind the counter
with him.
So you keep the flavored product in a bag behind the counter for the employees.
No, the employee brought it in with him. He don't have it in the store. They don't sell it in the store, or they don't keep it.
Put it in a bag for himself.
He sold it to benefit himself, correct.
Okay. And is that the same employee that you fired?
Yes.
The same employee.
Yes. Also, for the receipt for the Cloud9 gift and beauty shop, that machine was broken, and he, like I said, he just came to cover it that day, and he just used the other machine to that need to be fixed for their other store in San Francisco.
Is he used a cash register?
No, the wrong machine, the wrong ATM machine. They're a small ATM mm-hmm. machine.
Oh. Did your employee get any training before you hired him for this half day?
No, because there were everybody, you know, in the grieving of the passing away of their father. So they did not train him.
It's still the business's responsibility to educate whoever they 100%. Hire.
All the other employees, we already have in place training for them. And
what it takes is once. well, in your case, three times. And your three violations are for exactly the same.
We went through a lot of employees. Yes, employees is kind of very hard to find good employees now, especially for smoke shops. They already know everything.
Say that has to do with management. Does anybody else have any questions?
I have someone that manages the store, or is it the owner?
I know his brother.
Who's purchasing the flavored tobacco? Because I have a hard time believing that you've got two prior violations and now you have another one that it just was an employee that brought it in for a half a day and just happened to sell it to the wrong person.
He's the one he purchased the King of Palm. He said those when he goes wholesale for tobacco.
Who purchased it?
The envoy.
Who purchased it?
Wholesaler. What company?
This gentleman purchased it?
He says he has the invoice.
As far as the Palm King, as far as the flume, no.
So where is that invoice?
It's a moot point, since staff said that the palm leaf is not a flavored tobacco. It's a flavored banana leaf. So the most important thing is the watermelon, lemon, mint
Correct.
Product. Not
It does say here, squeeze and pop for flavor. So that means there's a flavor inside of it. You smash it. And
it's a flavored tobacco, though.
Tobacco, yes.
Well, regardless, we've got a problem with somebody is purchasing these items for the shop. The shop's selling them. And this is the third violation. Well, I think we need to address, what do we want to do?
You have a comment?
Yeah, I'm sorry, just to provide a little more context. So we're still researching banana cream, palm leaf rolls. We're not sure if they fall under our ordinance, but it's possible it does fall under the state law. But we've been trying to communicate with the CDTFA to see kind of where some of these products fall. It's a really long list of products that are out there. So this one's kind of, we're just waiting to see. So in the meantime, what we're doing is we just let people know that, hey, we're not sure about this product. We're still trying to figure it out. And until we do, just know that, you know, once we do, we will give them a formal warning to remove it before we go and enforce anything.
Well,
on
that's
it.
Understandable, yeah. Because if it was just banana leaf by itself, but they're it's packaged as a flavor. The packaging says it's flavored.
So the notice was just.
You can only assume it's flavored.
Right. The notice was just so solely for the vaping.
Yeah.
Because it does fall under tobacco and
the vape. Flume says watermelon, lemon, mint. It's a vape.
It's the vape. I'm so out of it.
Did we have any other questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Unless you have something else, I think you can sit down, but thank you for sharing that. We appreciate you being here to tell your side. Thank you. Okay, I'll close the public hearing. Dana. Anybody on the phone? Anybody on the line?
Yes, I do have one hand raised. Sandra, you are allowed to speak. Unmute yourself. Okay, Dahlia, you are allowed to speak.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Aya, please speak. You have 3 minutes.
So good evening. My name is Delilah, and I want to voice my strong support for staff's recommendation to suspend this license for 1 year. This flavor and electronic smoking devices are banned for a reason. They target our young people and put their health at risk. Enforcement is the only way to protect our kids, and the record shows it works. That the COI operation happened because there was reason to believe this store was selling banned products, and that turned out to be true. The fact that these vapes were hidden in a plastic bag makes it clear the store knew what it was doing was illegal. Saying the owner was, quotation, out of the country doesn't matter, the store was still selling harmful products to the community under that license. Businesses that follow the law should not be put at a disadvantage by those who intentionally break it. For the sake of protecting our youth and the integrity of this policy, I urge you to support the 1 year suspension. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dahlia.
Marcia Lopez, you are allowed to speak.
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Marcia Lopez. I'm members of SLAM. I'm support the staff recommendation to suspend this license for 1 year. All business owners in this community know the rules. Flavored tobacco products and electronic smoking devices are prohibited. The vast majority of business comply. And that's why enforcement has been so effective. But when one business chooses to ignore the law, it undermines the entry policy. The electronic cigarettes were hidden in a plastic bag, not in plain sight. That tells us everything. This was not an accident or a mistake, but a deliberate concealment and illegal sales. The claim that the owners was out of the country is irrelevant. If you run a business, you are responsible for how it's managed. If we don't enforce the rules fairly and firmly, the policy loses its meaning. I urge you to uphold the staff recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia.
Marcia, what was the name of your organization? You stated it's Reslam, or what does that stand for?
Islam, San Lorenzo Hayward Acres Mobilize.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sandra's iPhone, you're allowed to speak.
Apologies. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my name is Sandra. I'm also part of SLAM, and I'm here to support the staff's recommendation to suspend this license. And really, this policy has been really effective in our community to reduce access to tobacco for our community. Within the first year of this policy going into place, we saw like almost like an 8 to 10% drop in what we call key indicators for tobacco in the Healthy Kids survey. So that means like kids were reporting like an 8 to 10% less of like smoking vapes, using vapes around. And that's because we really went to the core issue, which is accessibility. And so it's really important that we do make sure that we are enforcing this policy, because without this enforcement mechanism, then there is no incentives for owners to follow the law. Having a license is a privilege, and it is a responsibility. The fact that they had these electronic smoking devices in bags hidden kind of shows you what was going on, right? And ultimately, an owner, that is their responsibility, what their staff is doing. And I just don't buy that, like, staff is behind the owner's back trying to make in more revenue by selling products that are not allowed, because it's like, what's the incentive for them, right? And ultimately, they are responsible. Like I said, it is a privilege to have these licenses. They are selling something that is harmful to our community. And so I really urge you to take staff recommendations. The fact that the officers went in is because this was already something that was reported and affecting our community. So I really urge you to follow the ordinance and ensure that our community is safe from these harmful products. Thank you.
If what does SLAM, what's the
we're name? San Lorenzo Hayward Acres Mobilized. We are a primarily work on prevention issues in our community. We really take an environmental level approach to tackling issues of substance use, particularly in youth, by doing like policy change, enforcing policies, because like our stance is like, we can give prevention classes to 100 kids and that's great for those 100 kids. But when we change policy and we enforce policy, we're actually changing the environment that kids live in, which is really addressing the issue of substance use in our community. And this policy is a great example of how attacking issues around, like, one of the issues in our community is accessibility. You got a lot of tobacco retailers all over our community, so kids are more likely to do that.
That stands for San Lorenzo
Hayward Acres Mobilized.
Hayward Acres Mobilized. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
But we work all over our program has grown. We do a lot of work around the whole unincorporated area and also a little bit in San Lorenzo or San Leandro and Hayward.
Thank you.
Rosita, you are allowed to speak. Please unmute yourself. or Cita de Jesus?
Oh, sorry. Do you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. My name is Teresita. I live in Ashland for more than 20 years and I'm a member of SLAM. I want to say my testimony, but in Spanish. You know how anybody is translating in English? Because I don't have no. I made it only in Spanish?
No, we do not.
Okay, I can say in Spanish. Maybe Santa, she can help me in English.
I might be able to translate. Might I just have to go slow because I'm not really experienced interpreter.
Okay, I'm going to do it slowly. Thank you so much for your help.
Might be better though, just to stick to English, I think, for our be easier.
Okay, estoy aquí para firmemente apoyar la recomendación del personal de suspender la licencia por un año.
To support the staff recommendation and the suspension of the license.
Y recomendación la que recomendación de que suspenda la licencia por un año.
That support the suspension of 1 year of the license.
El mecanismo de cumplimiento es lo que asegura que esta política funcione.
¿Puedes repetir eso, por favor?
Sí, el mecanismo del cumplimiento es lo que asegura que esta política funcione.
Let's see. So the mechanism of enforcement is what ensures that this policy functions correctly.
Y esto ha demostrado que ha sido increíblemente exitoso.
And this has demonstrated incredibly.
Sin cumplimiento, la ordenanza sería solo palabras en papel.
Without proper enforcement, it's just the policy is just writing on paper.
En este caso, la operación con el comprador encubierto no fue al azar.
Well, in this case, the operation with the undercover buy, sorry, I don't know what that means.
No fue al azar, quiero decir que ya lo tenían en fijo.
I'm sorry, do you mind finishing in English, please? I'm sorry.
En este caso, la operación del comprador encubierto no fue al azar. That means they know what they're doing. That's what they are looking for this specific this place.
Is that it?
No, porque ya había sospechas que se habían vendido productos prohibidos.
Okay. Thank you. We've got time. Yeah, 3 minutes. Thank you. Okay, for interpretation, I don't know how the staff will. Are you able to record that?
She recorded everything.
She's got both. Okay.
Do you want to speak? Okay.
Different one.
And if you could fill out a speaker card and hand it to the staff. Okay. All right. Do we have any other folks on the line?
I do not have any other hands raised.
Okay. Public hearing's closed. Okay.
Oh, I think this is
questions.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they've got this other receipt is bad. That's does not reflect well. And, at the one person who goes in there on this half day just happens to have the bag and sells it for himself is bad. So I would make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation and deny the appeal and find the business owner in violation of ordinance chapter 3, electronic smoking device ordinance chapter 3.9 for a public hold the what echo licenses business to pay fines and fees.
I'll second.
Excuse me, we want to add, never mind, sorry.
All right, staff, can we have the vote?
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Move on to the neighborhood preservation.
Now we get to Roy.
Right. Oh, it's up. These are administrative hearings for the neighborhood preservation and Alameda County zoning ordinances. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because the owner has not complied with a notice to abate a nuisance. As the enforcement body, we will hear and consider all relevant evidence, objections or protests, and receive testimony as to the means of abating the alleged nuisance. For this board to find that a nuisance has been abated, the owner must show proof that the nuisance has been rehabilitated, repaired, removed, or demolished. If you cannot show proof of abatement, then we may find that a public nuisance does exist on your property and that there is sufficient cause to abate the nuisance. This board will then issue an order specifying the nature of the nuisance and the method of abatement. The abatement work must be commenced and completed in not less than 10 or more than 60 calendar days. The board's order will reference your right to appeal our decision. You'll have 10 days from the date of service of the order to appeal to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. A copy of the findings and order will be served on all owners of the property in the same manner that notice of this hearing was given. In addition, a copy of the findings and order will be posted on or near the property. Any fines imposed by this board may be reduced or waived upon determination of hardship or special circumstances. We're ready for the first item.
Okay, the first item on the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement Hearing is for 20855 Royal Avenue. And we have Code Enforcement Officer Alfonso Flores here to present the matter.
Hello again, Alfonso Flores, Alameda County Code Enforcement. This was a, just to preface this, was a case by Investigator Juan Carlos Martinez. Unfortunately, he is not available due to an emergency. So I'll kind of be going over everything. So this was with regards to Churchfield, Randy, and Al-Dabashi Samir for property at 20855 Royal Avenue in Hayward, California, 94541, APN 432-020. -002-01 violation of Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance section 6.65030 A1 and 3 E2 and B6 and zoning ordinance section 1752.430. This is for accumulation of trash and debris throughout the property, unapproved storage of inoperable vehicles on the property, vehicles parked on unpaved surfaces, and fence height exceeding what is allowed by ordinance in the front. Pertinent facts are on June 23rd, 2025, we conducted a site visit, confirmed violations listed above. On June 24th, 2025, declaration of public nuisance notice to abate was mailed to the property owner via regular mail. On July 7th, 2025, we returned and we did not observe any progress. On July 8th, 2025, a notice of failed reinspection and with fines and fees assessed was sent to the property owner via regular and certified mail. On July 21st, 2025, site visit was conducted, but no progress was observed. On July 23rd, another notice of failed reinspection was issued with fines and fees assessed, and that was sent. This was only for the NPO, so the second one. So that was for the trash and debris and the inoperable vehicles and the parking and unpaved. Sent regular and certified mail. And then on August 5th, 2025, We conducted another site visit, no progress. According to the notes by Juan Carlos Martinez, it looks like he did make contact with the caretaker, who I believe is here and present. Previous violations, yes, over the course of, on August 7th, 2025, notice of failed reinspection and notice to abate and notice of administrative hearing was mailed via certified and regular mail to the property owner. Sorry about that. Previous violations, yes. So from 2013 to 2021, there are five violations. All were owner abated. Two were for an inhabited RV on an unpaved surface. Two were for overgrown vegetation, and one was for an accumulation of trash and vehicles that were parked on unpaved surfaces. They haven't had contact with the property owner, only the caretaker of the property. The property is not vacant to our knowledge, and the staff recommendation is to declare the property in violation of the neighborhood preservation ordinance, a public nuisance, and require abatement to be completed within 10 days. Juan Carlos also provided us with some exhibits showing the parcel. It's a fairly large parcel. Exhibits one and two show the property from the street. And as you can see, there's a pretty tall fence there, and it looks like there's a tarp that's covering it. There are parts of the fence, though, that where you can see right through, which is where he took his photos. And this is what the property looks like on May 9th, 2025. And Exhibit 4 shows the property on June 23rd, 2025. Exhibit 5 on the July 7th inspection on Exhibit 5 and 6. Seven and eight, the July 21st inspection. And again, July 21st for exhibits 9 and 10. And August 5th for exhibits 11 and 12. This was taken. I'm sorry, this is not for this case. I'm sorry, this is a slide that might have gotten in there on accident. And I think that concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Well, you have a chance to speak when I call you. So just have a seat. Sit down. Sit down. Yeah, thank you. Do we have any questions for staff?
Yeah. The letter, August 7 letter, says the property will be reinspected on August 25.
Yes, that, well, actually, we don't know. He was not, he wasn't here today. So he did not notify us if he was able to inspect it. That would have been Monday, basically. I can't say that he did or didn't.
Other inspector, though, on this, he was here.
Yes, from our knowledge, yeah.
Right, so he... That's my only question. Actually, I have one other. It says the fence exceeding the allowable height in the property front. I mean, that really not a problem.
But we're instructed to, you know, write up the more obvious things that are on the property, and if a fence height is too high, especially in a front yard, that's a one that we usually will go after, along with the other items on the property. We wouldn't be abating the fence. We would only fine and fee them until they reduce it.
I was wondering about think there's a lot of other
apps like writing.
Yes,
yeah.
I want to confirm that what I'm looking at is the front yard.
Correct. Yeah.
Backyard.
This is if you approach the property from the street, basically from Royal.
I got two quick ones. The violations 213 to 221, 2021, Was that with the same owner? Was that a different owner?
From reading back the notes, there was an ownership change that took place, and he had a bit of a difficult time kind of reaching the property owner. And I'm sorry. I think I don't know how much information I can provide personal, but there does look like there was a change of ownership that took place. Someone
here and there
asked for something.
So then my other question is the violation for an inhabited RV on an unpaved surface. If that was on a paved surface, would that be a violation?
If the vehicle was on a paved surface, inhabited RV would still be a violation. But it's like a double violation if it's on an unpaved surface. So it's the parking of a vehicle, whether it's a RV or a boat or a trailer, is not allowed on
like
an unpaved surface.
It's like two violations. It's parked on an unpaved surface and it's inhabited. We got one more. We have a troika. All right. Thanks.
Do you have any other questions? Or I'll open the... Okay, I'll open the public hearing, and if you'd like to speak, yes, take your card.
You need
to right to the microphone.
In this right microphone, so we can hear.
Juan Carlos was here yesterday and took some pictures at the place.
The microphone?
Juan Carlos was at the place on World Avenue yesterday and took pictures.
Can you state who you are?
Oh, she's Bruce Eric Bennett.
Net.
Cut the bus up.
And do you and do you reside? You live at
not always. No, I live a lot, but I was gone the whole month of July. Me and my daughter went fishing, and when I came back, I didn't know this was going on. I didn't know there was a court date today until Juan Carlos told me yesterday when he came out for his inspection. Okay, I don't know if other people know. Randy Churchfield got ran over by a car. He's got 39 staples and four, we call it, posts that were put in him. And so he don't come out too much. I never know what his phone number is. You know, once in a while he might come out. He's kind of immobile. And Sam, he's a silent partner, I guess.
Are you the caretaker of the property?
Okay, I came back, and what it is, there's a person living in that trailer. It's on cement. Okay, she's not supposed to be living in this. It's Randy's brother, Richard's ex-girlfriend. She's just supposed to be in a woman's program and all this stuff. This has been going on for months. Actually, I had to put a dumpster there to get rid of all the stuff.
Okay, well, we just want to get back to you were notified.
If I can get a little bit more time, I've only had a week on it. Okay.
You were unaware back in June?
I signed for the letters and sent them to him. You know what I'm saying? He don't live there. I signed for the letters. I know we needed them letters. If we had one of them little ones, you know, from Alameda County, from Juan Carlos, I knew something was up. You know, but I'm not supposed to refuse mail.
Would you like to talk to us about what the violations are?
More days to get it done. I get it done. It's not a problem.
Okay, so right now, if assuming we agree with staff, you'll have 10 days.
Nope, that's fine.
So that's fine.
You betcha.
Okay, good.
I'm amazing.
Okay.
I cut that. That's the bus that used to be on there.
All right. Can you tell us how long the fence has been there?
Fence for 30 years or more. And there's three fences that are taller than that on that street. I checked it out. I suffer from COPD and CHS, but I know how to get the stuff done.
Okay, but you're aware of the of the violations and what
the
each are?
Around the extent, I've done many yards.
You're willing
I've
to
never had no problem.
Abate.
I got to keep my winning record when I retire. Okay.
And so 10 days would be adequate for you.
I have to be if that's what you want
okay.
to give me.
Do we have any other?
Yeah, please go.
So to get everything cleaned up, because you have a lot of trash out there.
I'm having problems. She's living in a trail, which is on asphalt or cement. Okay, but She got an ID shows her.
Okay, so once you...
I got to evict her somehow.
Once you have an order, though, and you provide her a copy, do you anticipate that... Is that her trailer or somebody else's trailer?
Randy's brother gave her that trailer last year. She's supposed to be taking it out to Alton, and that was back in June of last year. And then she left in October. She was pregnant. She came back in January, and she's been there ever since, just about. And she... No, I mean, the whole mess in the back's unreal, but I got a lot of it up so far.
So the person who owns the trailer doesn't live there?
I gave her that trailer. That used to be boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever you want to call them.
Gave her the trailer.
Oh, okay. But she doesn't live there.
Yeah, she does live there.
She does live there, but she's come and gone. And now she's
no, she's there. She is there since January.
Then last year, too, that's when the trailer... I mean,
so do you anticipate being...
She wants me to tow it somewhere. I got the money to tow it somewhere. Yeah. Okay.
Well, if you have the order, you can show the property owners the copy of the order saying it needs to move. It needs to go away.
And she needs to go away.
Yeah. I got some paper that says that. I'm not mad. Maybe I won't have no problems that way. Okay, but you see, the... she got an ID that says, you know, she lived there and she got all kinds of, you know, she got more mail than I met.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I get the place back to snuff the way it was, okay? I worked a lot of time on that 4 years ago when I cut the bus up, okay?
All right. If we don't have any other questions, you could be seated.
Your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I almost didn't make it.
Do you have any other speakers on this item?
Do not see any hands raised.
All right, then I'll close the public.
I get that paper.
You can go. Oh, I'm going to keep
that one. No, the one who says it's a court order.
Once we vote and we need to vote. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We're almost through the process.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. So now how does one
I would suggest
go on with separating them?
Well, can we, does staff have any objections to striking that last sentence under the violation, fence exceeding allowable height at the property front?
Just taking it as a separate item.
Now I'd say it's probably a benefit to the neighborhood not to see it.
I think, or it could be taken up as a separate
exactly,
item.
Right.
It says.
Just strike that portion, the fence.
You're referring to the draft order, or you're referring to the staff report? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm referring to what you've noticed as the violation, and that includes fence exceeding the allowable height.
Oh, number four front. On the specific violations.
Right. So that would be striking number four, so we don't have that.
It'd be a tough one for 10 days.
That's a separate issue.
I believe Juan Carlos's recommendation was only to declare the property a violation of Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation. He didn't, in the staff recommendation, he didn't list zoning.
Exactly.
So I think it would be okay.
Strike that since we don't have
not included.
We don't have a proposed abatement, and that's just another.
Right, and it could be taken up separately.
I have a feeling he may have, that was his intention in leaving it out of the staff recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so that's that one.
I would suggest we strike that just for clarity purposes.
Number four on both of those,
right? And this gentleman has been very nice in making sure volunteering. But
for the 10 days,
the 10 day, the holidays too might take. Would just 20 days.
It again?
Yeah, 20 days.
Feel more comfortable
might
with
take,
20.
Might beforehand. Take a week to get a dumpster.
Yeah. Just for the dumpster and the holidays.
Oh, you could scrub the fence item.
Yeah, you want to focus on the trash.
That's it. Ed Labaya, code enforcement manager. So, yeah, the inspector's intent was to only bring the neighborhood preservation abatement to your board. He's still pursuing the fence case under a zoning violation, which is part of this case. If the property owner does not comply with our recommendation to abate that, then they will be charged separately for that fine under the zoning abatement rule 1759-200. And then if they appeal that, then that might be in front of you and another.
Yeah, but our point is we're not addressing the fence. We don't want to address the fence. We strike that at this point, so it's not really before us.
I think in the staff recommendation, it's already not included there.
Another reason why
staff report
we're suggesting striking that as a violation, that we're not hearing that violation.
County Council has something to offer us.
So you would make that recommendation in the form of a modified motion?
Say that again.
Would make that recommendation in the form of a motion,
the motion
modifying the abatement order.
Okay.
So we modify the fence requirement and we modify the 10 days, 20 days.
Right. But right now there is no abatement proposal for the fence.
Yes, there is.
Oh, he said yes,
there is.
Yeah. If you read the draft abatement order, the last line of the second resolve clause reads, and remove or reduce the fence height to comply with Alameda County ordinance and residential design standard.
Right.
So if you want to remove that from this action, that would be the motion.
Okay.
The motion.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that would be thought if make a motion.
So I think that because it. The staff report did include the fence height, and it's also included in the draft resolution that could be part of your order today, or you could remove it if you choose.
Yes, we want to strike that as a separate matter, and we're not hearing that, and we're not making any determinations. We're making a determination on relation of trash and debris throughout the property, unapproved storage of inoperable vehicles, and a vehicle parked on unpaved surface. That's.
So as part of your motion to modify the proposed abatement order to remove the fence, we recommend that you continue that to a further hearing not specified.
To continue it?
Yes.
That keeps it live,
so to speak. Okay.
You're not taking an action on it one way or another. You're continuing that to allow staff to pursue it further.
All right. And then that's up to staff whether or not they want to, when and where they want to agendize that.
Correct.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay. All right.
Do I have a motion based on all that?
I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation with the following modifications: to continue the item number 4 listed, fence height exceeding allowable height at the property front per zoning ordinance by staff, and to modify the abatement order for violations items 1 through 3, 10 days, 20 days, or abatement within 20 days would be my motion.
Second.
We have a second. Can we have the vote, please?
Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Mr. Bennett, we gave you that's 20 days.
20 days.
20 days.
You came in and you said you'd take care of it.
Good. Okay. So we're all done. Thank you for coming in.
Okay, so staff does want to make an announcement that the second item on the neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement hearing for 3678 Arcadian Drive has been dropped due to the owner abating the issue.
Hey, yeah. We like that.
Happened.
Owner abated.
And that would take us to number, we're ready for item number three.
Okay, item number three on the neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement hearing is for 2135 Pico Place in San Leandro. And the code enforcement officer, Terrence Jackson, is here to present the matter.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Terrence Jackson with the Alameda County Code Enforcement. I'm here today to speak on the property at 2135 Pico Place in San Leandro, California. The property owner is Douglas and Terry Dixon. APN number is going to be 0808 as an apple, -0209-013-00. Violation, Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance Sections 6.65030A as an apple, subsection 1, and B as in boy, subsection 6. Accumulation of overgrown weeds, vegetation, trash, and debris throughout the vacant lot of the property. Pertinent facts, July 8th, 2025, site visit confirmed violation. July 8th, 2025, declaration of public nuisance, notice to abate mailed to the property owner. July 23rd, 2025, site visit violation still remained. On August 12th, 2025, we sent out the notice regarding the above on July 23rd, 2025. Notice of failed reinspection, final notice to abate, and notice of administration hearing mail certified in regular mail to the property owner. Also on August 26, 2025, revisit the site prior to the hearing. Conditions still remained. Previous violations, yes. July 24, 2024, overgrown weeds and vegetation abated by county. October 1st, 2024, inoperable vehicle abated by registered owner. August 15, 2023, overgrown weeds and vegetation abated by county. July 12, 2012, burned down house abated by owner. Contact with property owner? No. Property vacant? Yes. Staff recommendation, declare that the property is in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and therefore a public nuisance and require abatement to be completed within 10 days. We have some exhibit photos. Rear shot of the property. And on July 8th, 2025, exhibit one showing the property with overgrown weeds and vegetation dry. Exhibit two, July 8th, 2025, still showing the same conditions. On July 23rd, 2025, exhibit three showing that it's still unabated with overgrown weeds and dry vegetation. July 23rd, 2025, exhibit four showing another area portion of the same on that same day. August 26, 2025, exhibit shows that the violation still remained prior to the hearing. That concludes.
Just for clarification purposes, the violation is for 2135 Pico Place or 2122?
2135.
2135, okay. Is the photos are showing 2122 Pico an error or something?
Yes, on that day, I used our departmental iPhone. And it just picks up the nearest address nearby. It's not accurate, yes. But.
Okay. So 2135 is the location of fire hazard.
Yes, that's correct.
What otherwise appears to be the fire hazard thing. Yeah, it's a definite fire hazard. And so these property owners, though, their address, since it's a vacant lot, how do we know they're receiving the notices?
I'm sure about that, ma'am.
Okay, so there is a mailbox I saw in the photo. Yes,
there is.
Yeah, there is a mailbox. But that's their recorded from the treasuries or...
That's correct, from the assessor's office.
I think I remember this one. Or their last. I was going to say, other than it was missing a car.
I'm going to say, this came before us.
Yeah.
Once before.
My question was, it was about, same thing as yours, about the address, the owners. And are they still the same owners? Are they the owners of the house that burned down?
It appears so on the county assessor's office.
That'd be so. Like you said, there's a mail.
Oh. I say the owner current record of it's the owner.
And if that's current, yeah.
Property taxes.
But. It looks like we've got a little fire hazard coming with our fire weather coming as well. You have anyone on the line I should open the public hearing for?
Do not see any hands raised.
One online, so I don't think I need to open the public hearing. Questions or a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I think technically you open it and then you close it.
Oh, I do have physics.
But do it again.
Yeah. I'll do it again. Okay, I will officially open the public hearing. And staff says there are no other people online. Verified? Okay. I will now close the public hearing.
So I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation, declare the property in violation and a public nuisance and require abatement.
Second.
The second. Motion and a second. Can we have the vote?
Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Of item number four.
Okay, we have item number four on Liberty Street in San Lorenzo, and we have Code Enforcement Officer Terrence Jackson here to present.
Hello, once again, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Terrence Jackson, Alameda County Code Enforcement. We're here on property on the Liberty Street. They have the APN number. It's going to be 080-0048. -021-03, which is a vacant lot, and the property owners last listed as Robert and Margaret Underwood. Violation, Alameda County Area Preservation Ordinance Section 6.65030, A as in apple, subsection 1, and B as in boy, subsection 6. Accumulation of overgrown weeds, vegetation, trash, and debris throughout the vacant property. Pertinent facts, July 10th, 2025, site visit confirmed violation. July 11th, 2025, declaration of public nuisance, notice to abate, mailed to the property owner. July 24th, 2025, site visit, violation still remained, property not in compliance. August 12th, 2025, the notice was mailed of failed reinspection and final notice to abate and notice of administrative hearing mailed certified and regular mail to the property owner. Previous violation, yes. July 25th, 2017, overgrown vegetation, trash, and debris closed and in compliance. August 17th, 2020, accumulation of trash, debris closed in compliance. December 14th, 2020, overgrown vegetation, trash, and debris abated by county. July 18th, 2022, overgrown vegetation, trash, and debris abated by county. August 14th, 2023, accumulation of overgrown vegetation, abandoned, discarded, or dilapidated objects on the property abated by county. Contact with property owner? No. Property vacant? Yes. Staff recommendation, declare that the property is in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, and therefore a public nuisance and require abatement to be completed within 10 days. Can we go to the slides? Overview picture of the area on the corner there at Liberty. And exhibit one shows pictures of the dry overgrown vegetation. Exhibit two shows the further length of the lot showing the same thing, overgrown dry vegetation. And the corner here, as you can see, is very dry as well. Exhibit three of 2020. And same on July 2024, exhibit four shows the trash and debris on the property as well. August 26, prior to the hearing, exhibit five shows the overgrown dry weed vegetation at the same location still. Concludes my.
Thanks, Terrence. I think we probably remember this one. And about who owned the property, where did that go after? I know we had a lot of discussion about.
Yeah, we contacted the county and apparently there's nothing that they can do to try to acquire the property. It's just a dead end. We've reached a dead end.
They were talking. I thought there was some talk about the guy that owns the apartments and whether he would want it. And
he didn't want it
to do with it. And then there was the tax records.
Yeah.
For this, and this is all the only name they had associated with it.
Excellent.
But it's still essentially in the same spot it was.
Yes.
Okay. And so I know the other thing is, what does closed in compliance mean, really?
Closed in compliance.
That was from my colleague. I believe it was non-county abated. It wasn't abated by county. But it was
not, but yeah. You don't know who. No.
They probably came back, some Samaritan citizen probably went over and cut and cleaned it up. Who knows?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder, like, who did that?
But there are these properties. They initially, that would be my question, and I think that kind of goes to responsibility too.
Well, we never dug into the history of the parcel, so
we don't know if there's ever been a structure existing on.
Well, no, but that this could have been attached to
something,
another larger parcel, and when the
subdivided it
got subdivided,
left out or something,
left this strip. And that is a planning problem.
I mean, also the address is listed as 1221 Oak Street, which is the county address.
Yeah, so,
based on the address on this, I would say it's the county's responsibility to abate this.
I think so. I agree. This has been going on for quite a while.
Right. And so do the Underwoods even take any responsibility? Are they paying any property taxes on this or not?
Or have we confirmed they are deceased in that case?
Can't recall if we've looked into that. That might be a good possibility.
Maybe we should
be done.
I mean, in one sense, we want to abate it.
Of course.
But the question is how do we bring this back to follow up to get it forwarded to the appropriate body for thing with this? Because it is a fire hazard.
And it's a reoccurring problem, too.
It's a recurring problem, and it's one.
It's obviously not going anywhere.
And if we have the county is involved in the creation.
How do we help the county? How do we help the county?
Well, I think
to deal with this in a different way? Or
it's referring it to the appropriate body.
If this is considered county responsibility, how do you guys normally handle this? The parcel is now back in the county's hands.
I don't know if it's really back in the county's hands, but if it is, it would be referred to Public Works department.
And that's why my suggestion is do we abate this? Or how the question to staff is, how do we abate this so that the abatement happens quickly because it's a fire hazard? But
if your order is to abate,
we want to refer it also for further investigation on the ownership.
There's some kind of mechanism.
Doesn't that automatically happen since we get so many of these where they can't find the owner? So what happens on all these other ones when we've said
this is not, this is different. The same thing.
Just saying, in general, we get these all the time where we can't find the owners. Yeah. So why is this any different than the ones where we can't find the owners originally, which we don't need to make a motion. It's up to staff to research us.
A lot of these cases are our owners, and it might be beneficiaries or something, or they might own a lot of property, whatever. But that's a different issue than this. I don't think there are any owners for this strip. That's the point. And there may be nobody paying any property taxes on it either.
How do we get it referred over to Public Works? What's the mechanism for that?
To refer it to the appropriate body who can make the determination and instructions on how to finally address this.
Actually, such an odd thing like
it's
that.
It's got to go to somebody.
Yeah, I think if you make a request that we take that step, even though it's not a requirement, and when we can try to find out from assessor's office if there's a responsible party, or did the county take this over?
Well, can we refer it to the Board of Supervisors for their determination and investigation?
Probably not yet. I could do some preliminary digging around to see. I think we've done some already early on just to confirm that. And once we have some facts, then we can work on taking the next step.
Because it's definitely, as you said, noted, this is recurring. Yes. And we've addressed this before. And this is an issue of whether there's no property owners and there's nobody paying any taxes on it. And it's basically a collateral damage.
Like, how does something like that get deeded over to the county?
Or yeah. If there's nobody paying any property taxes, that's another issue, though. Or is there even a property tax bill being generated for it? Who knows?
It's an APN number.
Right. It's its own.
Oh, anyway, so that's a request on how do we structure that motion to make sure that it gets
in the motion and it will happen.
Right.
Ed said he was going to dig into it a little bit further. I think if we just do the abatement a motion and have Ed look into it so it doesn't keep recurring.
Well, so that it perhaps it's part of our references, our board comments or something.
You're on. Yeah.
Formalized, so there's plenty to do. We know.
I don't think this board has the ability to require staff to take action. So simply mentioning it as part of this hearing and requesting the staff look into it is
to refer it
to whom?
The Board of Supervisors. That would be the.
There's no basis for that.
At least.
No basis for that, that I'm aware of.
The basis would be is that it's a recurring issue, and that the address is for the property owner is 1221 Oak Street, which is the county administrative building.
Not sure where that came from.
That's right. And also whether or not we have any real property owners or not.
So there's an escheatment process whereby abandoned property is taken by the state. But that isn't a process that code enforcement initiates or that this board has jurisdiction over.
Well, we don't have any jurisdiction, but if it's already been escheated, and I would think the county would want to know that so we don't have this recurring problem. And so we don't have a fire hazard growing, and we don't have to put this on the agenda every year. And instead, it's just on the to-do list.
Is there anything we can do to like help facilitate?
Other than what you've done? I don't believe so.
No. Okay. Other than to just process the abatement.
And to flag it for staff, and if staff wants to pursue it.
Said he would look into it. I believe him.
I believe him, too.
You know, Ed can talk.
All right.
Ed knows people. He can talk to him.
Ed, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I believe this is the property we talked about referring to forester.org to maybe make a pocket park out of it.
Yeah, they said they were not interested in doing that there because getting permission is really difficult for them without a property owner.
And that's why
liability and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we're making this request because of this kind of.
That was a good try anyway.
Yeah.
Else we could do.
I did talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, any more questions? Michael, do you have any questions? You?
Okay. Public hearing.
I will open the public hearing. Do we have any speakers or anyone online, Christine?
Do not have any hands raised.
I will close the public hearing and entertain comments.
Second.
Motion and a second. Take the vote.
Chair Vovas?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Of our neighborhood preservation. Next, we don't have any alcoholic beverage sale and regulations. Open forum. Anyone who wishes to speak on anything that is not listed on the agenda may do so.
Do not have any hands raised.
Hands raised. The only thing I was going to ask is if anyone knows when this mosaic project is supposed to come to us. Has anybody heard?
I do not have a date as of yet.
Is there a chance it could be on the September 10th meeting?
There is not a chance as that meeting was just canceled.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say I may not be here, but that takes care of that. Does anybody else have anything else for open forum? Then I'll go on to, we have no field trip report, and we're ready for item one on the regular calendar.
Okay, the first item on the regular calendar is PLN 2025, number 78, variance, and we have staff planner Aubrey Rose here to present the matter.
Afternoon, Aubrey Rose, Alameda County Planning Department. I'll go ahead and share my screen. I've got a PowerPoint presentation. Okay, again, this is case number PLN 2025-00078 at 20336 San Miguel Ave. This is a variance request. This is a project to replace Alameda County Fire Station number 25 by demolition of the existing building and construction and operation of a new two-story 14,500 square foot building, including a detached rear accessory building with a 10-foot rear yard setback where 20-foot minimum is required. So that's the variance. There's also an SDR, site development review, that's triggered for construction exceeding 1,000 square feet in the PF zone that's decided by the planning director per the municipal code. This application was received by the department in May 22nd of this year. And the property owner is the Alameda County Fire Department, and the applicant is BRW Architects. We don't have Chris with us today, but we do have Deputy Chief Eric Moore from ACFD. General plan, public facilities, zoning is public facilities. The project relies upon, in terms of environmental review, the project relies upon a mitigated negative declaration. The fire department, Alameda County Fire Department, is acting as lead agency on that. And so this has been to the MAC first on July 28th, at which time the MAC voted 6-0 to continue the item to a date certain of August 25th. Primary purpose of the continuation was to provide the applicant additional time to develop a more robust inclusion of historic elements into the proposed artwork. And yes, you're seeing that right. We were back at the MAC on Monday night, and the MAC voted with those revisions, voted 6-0 to recommend approval to the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments of the variance, in addition to SDR with the planning director. And that was with the motion included with continued effort to incorporate historic artwork elements. So here's the location of the site, 20336 San Miguel Ave, north of Castro Valley Boulevard. It's on the east side of the street, across the street from a school. So just north of downtown. And here's the site in east side of the street. You can see the existing building here and the garage here. The building at the rear, which is at a zero lot line where 20 feet is required, is to remain. Is to remain, won't be demolished. And so here are some views of the existing fire station number 25. Here's the site plan, and again, site development review is required for this new 14,500 square foot building. And the reason we are here today is to discuss the variance request for required rear yard for an accessory structure is detached from the main building. It'd be set back 10 feet where 20 feet minimum is required. You can see that on the right side there in that green oval. That's the back of the building along the rear property line where that's proposed. And again, the existing building to remain is in the right rear corner at near to zero lot line. Excuse me. Some of the elevations. There's modern design that maintains the civic elements and the east elevation here, and then the east elevation. So the garage has front and rear doors so that the rear open area can be accessed. So part of the reason for the variance would be to create more distance at the backside of the garage. Also, the intent of the code is really for the primary building, and this is an accessory building. A few more justifications for the variance. Besides those two items, the property directly to the rear is a post office parking lot, and to the north or the left is a residential zone where the required rear yard is 10 feet. The zoning ordinance exempts accessory structures in residential zoning districts from the rear yard setback requirement. There were some historic elements that were added, and these next three slides depict those, and that what was new to the MAC 2 days ago on the 25th. And so you can see some, if I can use my cursor, there's some part here, and I'm gonna zoom in on the next slide and here, and just to be sure, this slide does not depict the full landscape plan. So if it looks a little barren, that's it's just zeroing in on certain elements that we wanted to talk about. And so zooming in, see those elements up close. And this is, of course, in the front yard. Then going into the lobby, there's placeholders here for historical information and display. So when you have visitors, this is one of the first things they'll see when they come in to the new air station, we hope. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments approve a variance to replace Alameda County Fire Station number 25 by demolition of the existing building and construction and operation of a new two-story 14,500 square foot building, including a detached rear accessory building with a 10-foot rear yard or setback where 20-foot minimum is required. This is at 2336 San Miguel Drive. So that concludes staff's report. I'm available to answer any questions you may have. And again, we have Deputy Chief Eric Moore from the Fire Department here as well. Thank you.
Thanks. Questions of staff?
I'm curious, if this was a residential project instead of a commercial project, what would the setback requirement be? Is it the same?
For an R1, it would be the same. However, there's an exception to the setback in the rear setback requirement for accessory structures in the residential zones, as long as so it can be to 0 feet rear, as long as no more than 30% of the required rear yard is covered.
Yeah, just curious. And the setback, is it also related to height of the building? So the higher the building, the larger the setback, or is it just 20 and 10?
No, not in this case. That's the case in some more urban central business district codes for skyscrapers and things, but not in this zoning district.
The staff report does talk about a required variance for the property to the north. I wonder if you could just show us on the site plan what that means.
Really? Backing up. Okay, so this is the proposed 10 feet. And here's, I guess, 20 feet. That's the rear lot line. And then here's a residential building. This is not a single family zoning district, but a multifamily directly to the north or left. There's their rear setback. Looks like they've got more than they need. Because I think they've, in the multifamily, we're going for more density, it's 10 feet instead of
the post
20.
Office parking lot on the other side of that.
Correct. Yeah, that's to the...
I was sure separating them. Okay, that's that one, but we're concerned with the one at the rear.
There's only one variance before us.
Correct.
Right, and the other variance has been handled?
No other variance. Sorry if I mischaracterized.
Okay. All right, because it did mention this other property to the north.
That maybe enjoys in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Maybe that's what it is. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
My other question would be the height of the new storage building is tall. I knew there's a restriction on the height.
There is. I'm double checking what's proposed.
I didn't really find that on the elevations.
Or
public facility zoning district allows up to a 45-foot building height.
In the setback. Wow. Oh.
Correct.
I thought it was going to be like 15 or 20 feet. Well, that's a lot. That's a bunch.
No, the designation public facilities. So it's intended for
the numbers so high.
Yeah, so residential couldn't even be allowed to be developed at this lot. It had to be rezoned, and a general plan amendment will have to be done. Okay.
That makes sense. The existing classroom that's also within the setback area, is that an exemption?
I believe so.
Is it because it's portable?
I don't.
Makes that an exception? Exemption. Well, I mean, in the first place, see, that line goes. I'm just wondering how that and.
Sorry to say,
there.
I don't know for certain how we permitted that, but it may be legal non-conforming.
Oh, okay. So it's not enjoying a variance itself.
Oh, no, there's no other variance.
Okay. And there isn't any requirement for like non-combustible wall materials or anything like that.
There may very well be, but we'll rely on the assistance of the building department, the public works agency at the next.
Oh, there's day. Not an adjacent building on the other side of the fence. So that
there is not
may play into this too. Okay, that was all I had. How about anybody else?
It looks like the storage building actually has vehicles planned for it inside, more like a garage.
That's right.
I see.
Yeah.
There is a landscape plan. I apologize for not including it. Let me see if I can locate that right away.
I mean, even for the front, maybe the applicant can expand on that.
They can.
You need to open the public here. I will open the public hearing and you can come and speak with us. That's who you are.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, board. Just thank you for having us and listening to our application. My name for the record is Eric Mora. I get the privilege of being a deputy chief over our support services, and capital projects falls underneath sort of my division. But I think I could address a couple of those questions, maybe, or concerns. So let's just start with the existing classroom building. So we built that as a portable classroom probably when I got hired about 23 years ago. So it's been there for a little bit. So Aubrey probably doesn't know how it actually got there, but I would say that we followed the right flow path, but I couldn't tell you for sure how it was there, but we're planning on keeping that there just as is to try to minimize our cost impacts because it's still a working classroom for us. So we're just going to keep that as it sits. As far as the actual apparatus building, so yes, it is. We are planning on putting our fire engines that are in reserve status there to keep them out of the sun. So while we're not going to hit the 45-foot height for that, I want to say roughly we're about 20 feet high on that building, so enough to have about a 14-foot roll-up door plus a little bit of pitch on that roof to store that apparatus there. So I don't have it memorized, but I would say comfortably we're about 20 feet on that apparatus building in the back. So it's a really good opportunity for us to get our vehicles that are currently there sitting in that same location just to give them protection. So that's what we're looking to do. And there we're trying, as Aubrey mentioned, to try to capitalize on our parking space to get that building a little bit to the back. And the reason why we're not asking to go all the way to the back is we actually need some of that drainage off the building to meet some of our water flow concerns, and actually are going to put a bioretention swell behind that building to help capture some of that water as it rolls off. So that's where you see it at currently. And then to address your landscaping question, so we've had probably about 50% of our landscaping drawings done. We do have a robust section in the front of the building that we're working with. So as Aubrey mentioned, the Historical Society actually questioned us on some of our incorporation of some history. So we're working to incorporate some of the historical maybe concerns of the community, which we support, as well as our landscaping plan to incorporate something that when you walk by, you could get maybe a little step down memories lane, as well as a current sort of modern looking fire station. So we're working on the landscaping plan. We're obviously going to be bound by the public works and building department on what we can put in there as far as landscaping, but we're excited to make this look and feel more like an actual fire station with just out the, you know, it needs to incorporate landscape. So we're working on that.
Are you able to, do you ever turn around on the property with the trucks, or is just sort of a straight line?
Yeah. So this station in itself is really, it's how we're trying to set up all our stations. So we would drive down the south side of the building. There's a driveway, and we're going to drive down the back, and then we'll come around and we'll drive through. So we call this a drive-through fire station for us. So we actually don't have to back up at all. A lot of accidents on our fire, like with firefighters, actually occur by backing. So we're really trying to prevent that. So we'll come in on this drawing on your screen, just below those trees. Oh, you can see the gate there on the right. We'll enter through there. We'll go down behind this fire station, then turn around and come back. And
that makes it directional.
That's, yeah, be ready to go.
Very efficient that way.
Yep.
And like you said, avoids all the backup. Beep, beep, beep. All the oopsies.
Yeah. we don't need that.
Right.
But we are trying to incorporate a little bit of a park theme. We do have a slide designated for this fire station inside our app bay. So we're doing away with the historic pole because of injuries of our firefighters. So it's not.
Doesn't everyone ask where the pole is?
They do. So we're going to pivot to a slide. So when you have some visitors come by, you could take part of our slide that will be in the middle of that apparatus bay for us. So to get down from the second floor.
Okay, then it's the place of the pole. Yeah. Okay. Well, people, I'm sure, do actually ask that.
Oh, for, 100%. We get that. I get that question all the time. And do you use the pole? And, you know, a lot of the times it's actually, no, we don't, because of the injuries. When you wake up at a fall at night, the last thing you want to do is try to, like, grab yourself around a pole and slide down. So we're trying to be more proactive on our firefighter injuries.
Right. Down in one piece. Yes. Okay.
So you say you're working on the landscape plan. Are you including or thinking about, there's like fire resistant plants now, or so that the public, when they visit or the neighbors walk by, so it's kind of a, like an educational trail also on what can you plant that's fire resistant type of plants?
So we have like a long list of requirements by the county that of plants that we can and can't like include into new buildings. So we're working through what is sort of allowable through the county. So we're working through that. I see your point. I think most of our material will probably be low drought tolerant plants, as well as sort of being able to highlight some of the colors on our building to not make it so obvious. So we're looking at that. I don't know if we've actually sort of thought about maybe trying to do some like fire resistant type planting, but we don't have a lot in the front yard. Actually, the front area is going to be pretty small, so we'll have to think through that. But that's a good point.
Because that's what I understand is that's part of the fire hardening programs now, is what do you have planted, such as there are some plants, Italian cypresses, are much more flammable. Other types of the comparisons.
I like manzanitas burn very, very well, so we won't be planting those in front of our fire station.
Right.
There's a plant list that's attached to the packet here, so it looks like they've looked at it pretty good. Yeah.
But that's not referred to anything in the. That's what I'm trying to get at. We don't have it in the referrals to.
Oh, no, but you also have a list of plants that from the water company too that they also.
We've got a lot of regulatory bodies that we're trying to make sure that we get through the finish line. But I understand the next process is after we come through here, we're going to get through our, what they call DD drawings, our design development drawings, that will include sort of our final landscaping plan. And then I don't know if it makes its rounds back through this body. I'd be happy to have it to show you plans, but we really
should work right into the CDs.
It's going to go DD, then CD, but then we're going to submit our building permits, and it's going to go through the regulatory bodies to get all the sign-offs that are needed.
Right, and they'll be checking that against the planning approval list.
There's nothing listed, though, that I'm seeing on permits.
I don't think are any of that.
Well, right now we're trying to get just the variance, right? So once I can get through this finish line, then we'll step on to the next.
Well, part of that, though, part of the variance can always include
DUPs. Yeah.
Right. So that's the question is.
Oh, Randy's been working really hard on the historical part of it.
Randy and I have met twice now, and so we're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing a good job.
He's been very helpful, and I appreciate his engagement in the Cache Valley community. It's actually really nice to see. Yeah.
A lot of folks have been involved in this. I certainly can see that. Member Spaulding.
Well, just under general conditions, that's what, or access improvements, site improvements, and I don't see any references.
Putting the flag surrender box out front again. The
flag?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to put that back.
Yeah.
Unless it's.
That's what I'm looking at. It's not tied jumping to it, up. You're saying? Yeah, it's okay. Not tied to anything.
All right.
It's just like, isn't this a nice list?
Do we know of any tie between the conditions of approval and the planting list or planting plan, or is it tied with the exhibit?
Because I don't see it. It's where is it incorporated is the question.
All right. So proposed conditions of approval number 1 and 2 require that the project match the attached plans, which have partial landscape plan that I just popped up, and I'm sorry it wasn't in the slideshow earlier.
Further questions for the deputy?
No, I don't think
so. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone else online?
Just a moment. I do not have any hands raised.
Okay, I will close the public hearing and we can discuss. Oh. 1 and 2 refer to the exhibit. Could be. And an improvement of this land division shall be in conformance with the design and improvement indicated graphically or by statement on exhibit B.
Right. And I'm looking at, we have Alameda County Fire Station 25 in the plans, but.
Where's it say about the exhibit? How is the plan package marked as exhibit B?
Right, because right now,
an official exhibit
after the staff report, the first document attached
DD drawings as exhibit
is the
Really on your title sheet, you know, for PL-1 doesn't have it marked as an exhibit.
Right. So that's our question.
But if this had exhibit B on it.
Correct. Comment noted. It should have reflect that, and it doesn't, but it will be added prior to an action on the variance as well as the site development review.
We want to correct for the record that we do have exhibit B in front of us, but it is presently unmarked.
Correct.
And the date of exhibit B.
And that way we have a real exhibit B.
they're like you say, it's tied directly to the conditions.
Right. Right. It's like,
oh, you know, a little, there are these little things like that can turn into
A very big thing, actually.
Yeah, well, it can turn into,
right.
Seems small, but then
like, giant thing.
Kind of big, yeah. So where does this say? Bit B dated May 15th.
On file. It's on file and.
We will add that stamp prior to action.
Yeah, you've got the magic stamp for that. But you mark it according to your received stamp, not the title block date.
Because we have May 22nd.
Okay. And usually it's a date we receive it as the project planner. And then a lot of times when the site development review is acted on, there's a new stamp with the date of the action. But typically for the Board of Zoning Adjustments, it's there's an Exhibit A and the date received the application by the project planner or the latest and greatest set of plans.
Okay, just because what's attached right now is dated May 22.
Yeah, but the reso, yeah.
The May 15th date.
Should we strike?
Should we change the May 15th date on the conditions?
Sure. If the board wishes to do so.
22nd. So that should that's be- the way you're going to stamp them?
Okay. If that's what you wish.
We can modify it.
Exhibit B, May 22nd, 2025.
Right.
Yes.
That way they're consistent.
Yes.
Otherwise, we don't want a later argument. Oh, you know that's coming.
Yeah.
Maybe not with this applicant.
Yeah, maybe not, but that can happen. Don't think it won't if it could.
Like you baked in all of the MAC comments into this, right? Pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
It's about the trees. Large, mature, natural, and introduced trees as defined by the planning director shall be preserved to the satisfaction of the planning director.
No comment.
Think about trees.
Yeah, right.
Satisfaction.
It's another issue.
Later date.
Yeah. Right.
So, look at the flagpole, the flag drop off box. And... Actually, it'd be kind of cool to see that photo, the historical photo collection in the lobby. That's cool.
We're in here.
It says historical elements prior to final occupancy. Is to reinstall the logo and all the flagpole. But I don't see anything about, a smaller format photo collection memorializing shall be expanded to available in the lobby. Actually, you know, at the Supreme Court in San Francisco, they do that on the third. It's on the third floor and it's on the history of California. It's really very entertaining. And it talks about that initially they thought, let's have the Capitol in Southern California. And they said, oh no, we can't have people walking around with Panama hats. And we wouldn't want it. We wouldn't want to have it. Oh. Because at some other location, because they have, quote, bad whiskey, close quote.
Can't have that.
So, and these are like articles and photos, historical photos that are in there. So there's a lot of stuff out there to potentially incorporate.
Well, Randy Vanderbilt has all of it. I've seen it.
Right, there you go. All the entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. No, he's got it all.
Are we ready to entertain a motion? So far, we just found the one change on condition one.
Right.
Anybody else find anything? No.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation with the modification to general condition number one, modifying that Exhibit B dated May 15, 2025 be corrected to May 22, 2025, which is attached to the staff report for today's hearing.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Take the vote.
Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, that concludes our regular calendar. We can move on to the approval of the draft minutes that were issued to us for July
23rd.
I did not have any comments on the note-taking. Anybody else?
I did not.
Well, do you have a motion for?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes of July 22nd, 2020, 23rd, I should say, of 2025.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion and a second. You may take the vote.
Chair Bovis.
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Santos.
Aye.
Member Spalding.
Just gonna.
Motion passes.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments, staff comments? I do not.
I will let staff know that I will not be in town for the September 10th meeting, if that's the first meeting of the month, if that's scheduled, just so you know.
It's canceled.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Ready then. Okay.
They knew your travel plans.
Yeah. Fishing in Oregon.
What's the next meeting?
Fishing.
September 24th.
24.
September 24.
Okay. Any more? I don't have any board announcements. No. Then
Liberty Street. My afterly constantly advised and
mailing address is the county.
Exactly. I know.
Sorry. I suppose you could ask for an update to be agendized on the next agenda, if you'd like.
To add it to the agenda?
Yes.
And so that, and then that way it can forward.
You could ask staff to agendize it when they have an update. Maybe not.
Because it probably won't be 30 days.
Right. I mean, so maybe at some point to put on your, after you do some research and investigation, to put it on the agenda.
Okay. Okay.
As an informational item.
As an information, and then maybe so you can move it forward.
Okay, sounds good.
It's going to be controversial.
I'm going to do some asking too. So
okay. We know it's going to be controversial because no agency is going to want to take responsibility for it and blah, blah, blah.
On the radar, at least for a while.
Yeah.
See what we can
to get
do
a
about
potential
it.
Potential resolution at some point.
Okay.
Okay, then I will adjourn.
Do you see this?
So I do.
Yeah. We'll saw that.